You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. You're on the couch officially with Dr. Michelle. That's me, your friendly psychologist. Happy day to you all. I hope it's a good one, and if it's not, let's make it better together. You can give me a call. I have some wonderful guests coming up today. I'm going to tell you about in just a little bit. Kind of getting into the music here. Anyway, welcome to my show. Mostly what we talk about here on the couch are relationships, relationship issues. Of course, everything applies to that. Our own personal issues within and what we're dealing with and why we're dealing with and how we keep repeating the same mistakes and why can't we get better and feel better? And that's what it's about. And it really has to do with relationships. Early relationships. Mom and dad, family members, friends. How they made us feel. Bad? Okay? Not good enough? Less than? Worthless? It's all about getting ourselves together, because by the time we get into relationships and are ready for them as teens or young adults, we have to kind of get ourselves together, because what we do is we project a lot of our own insecurities onto other people, as we've talked about in the past. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk to my special guests today, who I will introduce momentarily. First of all, let me say that you can find me, Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist, on my website at Dr. Michelle Therapy, drmichelletherapy.com. It's Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com. Gives you an idea of what I'm about. I'm not one of these doom and gloom, let's go back to the past and feel the pain people. I'm into let's change it now. Yeah, take a look at what you've been through and try to work it through. And make your choices right now about how you can be a better person. And it's called positive life changes now. That's what I'm about. It's cognitive behavioral, as they say, but it's also a little psychoanalytic, psychodynamic, humanistic. We talk about feelings, and I have empathy because been there, done that. That's why most of us become psychologists, is because we've had our own stuff to deal with. We've looked at it, gone through therapy, and said, hey, maybe I can share some of my information with other folks so they didn't have to go through what I went through. So, and for the past 12 years, I've been working with people to help them find the right partner, with couples on how to improve their relationships, with individuals on working through their own stuff. And one of the most common complaints I hear from single men and women, or divorced men and women, or separated, is, why can't I find the right person? Well, they continue to tell me stories about, you know, these horrendous dates and relationships they've had, and how they've been hurt and are worried that they're never going to find anyone. And I tell them, again, making a positive spin on it, that having bad relationship experiences can be good. It can actually be good because they can learn about what qualities they don't want in a partner. And they can also help define the types of traits and qualities they do want in a partner. But what I tell them, which is most important, okay, is thinking how you might change so you can have some of these better qualities that you would like in someone else. I mean, how do you expect to get the qualities in someone else if you don't have them? Because you're not going to be able to recognize them because you're so cluttered with your own stuff and negativity. So what's more important is thinking how you might change so you can have some of these better qualities in order to attract the person you really want. And that's the way it is. Really, if you look within yourself, you'll find a lot of the missing pieces. Sometimes you need somebody to kind of objectively enlighten you about some of those things. And of course, sometimes you need to go through really bad experiences to find out why you may have attracted that person who hurt you so deeply. And you have to examine, am I like not deserving? Do I feel maybe I don't deserve? Is that what it is? All right. Well, we're going to get on the line here with my special guest. Let's see if I can click on the air. And good morning to you. This is Dr. Michelle. I guess we don't have him up. Let's try again. On the air. All right, let's do this once more. All right. Good morning. This is Dr. Michelle on the air.
Hi, Dr. Michelle. Judith and Jim here.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good, thank you very much.
Great.
That's good, and we've already had the occasion to send you a referral.
All righty, I love this. See, this is what it's all about, folks. Thank you, guys. My guests on the line are best-selling authors of 5 books on relationships, including Be Loved for Who You Really Are, and it's Judith and Jim. And I've had the pleasure of speaking with them for a very lengthy period. And they're wonderful people, and they can help you. Their website's wonderful, too, to get you really going about changing the things within you and taking a look at maybe what you kind of need to find those relationships. And, you know, they motivate audiences. They have their 2-for-1 energy rapport and humorous storytelling, and they're never afraid to share stories from their own dating and marriage experience. And from what I hear, you guys really inspire couples and singles to change their ways. So it's really nice to be talking with you both.
Well, we're glad to be here with you.
Absolutely. Our pleasure.
And the book is really that we're talking about. We're also going to focus on their website, which can help you greatly. I went on there, and I don't know if you guys realize this, but I went on another email address because I wanted to get information about myself. So I went,
good.
Yeah. So I sneaky-like went through your website and found out a lot of information for my own relationship issues. And thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure.
Our pleasure.
Anyway, we're talking about the book that really blew me away, and it's Be Loved for Who You Really Are. By the way, Judith and Jim have been on over 1,500 TV and radio shows. They know what they're doing. They've been on Oprah, The O'Reilly Factor, 48 Hours, The View, just to name a few. So that'll kind of warm you up a little bit. The point is that a lot of us do not get any serious training into how to date effectively and how to create a successful marriage. Right, guys? I mean,
absolutely. You know, that's really the case.
Yep. So, as I say, maybe if you were lucky enough to have one or two parents, family members, or friends who might have given some helpful advice or examples of how to create a successful relationship, you were lucky.
Oh, indeed.
But most of us don't have that.
No, quite the contrary. Most of us have bad models for relationship and particularly marriage, and our friends aren't trustworthy because they've got inappropriate upbringing in terms of modeling for relationships. So what do we do?
Exactly. What do you do? Well, you read Jim and Judith's book. That's what you do. How's that?
So, let's well, we agree with you, Michelle, but we'll let you say it.
Well, okay. That's fine with me. So let's talk about Be Loved for Who You Really Are, the book. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, please, I love this because you guys are so open about your relationship and kind of give us some insight about what prompted the two of you to make the study of relationship problems or dynamics your life purpose.
Well, let's start at the beginning before mm-hmm. Jim and I ever met, because I had dated for 30 years
mm-hmm.
and I was so frustrated about why wasn't I married, what was wrong with me. I dated some great guys, never led to marriage. Jim has 2 divorces before
mm-hmm.
we met.
Yeah.
So on paper, we aren't looking so good when we meet in our early 40s. Mm-hmm. And we recognize that when we look back on our backgrounds and we talk about not wanting to challenge our own relationship and end up, threatening divorce for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
what's the major issue? We didn't know how to deal with the differences between us and the person that we were, in Jim's case, married to, or in my case, going with.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really pinned it down that we would make a study, a psychological and spiritual study of the blessing of differences in relationships.
So it's really, instead of focusing on, you guys are different, you should just break up because he's this way and you're that way. So you folks are really into, let's celebrate those differences and see how we can work with them.
Well, because you have really no choice.
Yep.
Because no matter where you come from, no matter if you come from the same society, the same religion, the same economic status, the same side of the tracks, as soon as you move in together, you find out just how different you are.
Yes, it's really true.
Right. Don't. Anybody who's been in a relationship for any length of time knows that.
Yep.
So there is no way to be able to say you have to be like me or I have to be like you. And generally there are three options. One is, if you're different from me, I'm going to turn you into me or do my best to do so.
Oh yeah.
The second option is I'm going to leave you. And the third option is I'm going to abandon myself and become you. None
right.
of those work
right.
because ultimately, on the assumption that you make any one of those choices, but let's say you make the first or the third, I make you into me or I become you,
mm-hmm.
and then I say she really loves me. How could I possibly know that when I've actually abandoned who I am in order to be loved?
Right, and so many folks go within and they just shut off or become isolated. And like you said, and or pleasers, and just trying to do everything, you know, to make the other person happy. And you're right, they do lose themselves.
And then we mock love, we mm-hmm. ridicule love, we say it's just in the movies, it's all a fantasy,
mm-hmm.
and then starve for it for the rest of our life.
Hmm. Isn't that the truth? And it's really sad.
It's so sad. We worked with a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so lonely for her.
Mm-hmm.
He kept saying, I miss you. Why won't you please communicate? Why won't you please show up? And she said, I don't want to risk any kind of ruffled feathers. I grew up in a family where my parents fought all the time. I want peace at any price.
Right.
And the price was a divorce because he was bored. He was lonely. He couldn't get any real connection with her because anything he wanted, she would say, okay, dear.
Aw. Right, exactly. And the thing is, too, is when we go into relationships, many of us think we can change. Well, you know, I'll just overlook that for now. We're dating for a long time or we're living together. And when we really get committed to marriage or whatever, I know I'm going to just change that trait within them. And that's not
right.
good.
Well, marriage is going to change. The babies are going to make the change.
Ooh.
When I hit the lotto, it's going to make the change.
Mm-hmm.
And none of that works.
Mm-hmm.
Zero of that. Now, if you hit the lotto and you have a gajillion dollars and you can just play for the rest of your life, you may then begin to overlook the relationship. But if your relationship mm-hmm. is something you're really, really interested in,
mm-hmm.
nothing, you're not going to change the other person. As a matter of fact, all the effort you put into trying to change the other person is going to backfire. They're going to get their back up. They're going to get rigid and defensive, and then you'll blame them for not changing, and then you're really in a madhouse.
That's true. So what do you see as the number one problem that people face in their relationships?
Well, number one that prompted us to write Be Loved for Who You Really Are
mm-hmm.
is that because, as we said, people don't have training in how to create a successful, long-lasting relationship, whether they marry legally or not, it doesn't matter. Is that people do not understand that love will change you and require of you that you go through certain passages of love
mm-hmm.
that are predictable, they're normal, and unfortunately most people don't understand that. And so when they start to shift, when the relationship actually, when love moves them out of
mm-hmm.
what we call a glimpse of what is possible, the early honeymoon delight, the exquisite
right.
ecstasy and all of that,
right.
and move them out of that
yes.
into the next passage where conflicts are likely to show up and intended to show up, most people bolt.
Uh-huh, right.
They leave, they go into therapy, perhaps saying, you know, I've got to get out of my marriage, I've got, something's wrong with me, something's wrong with him or her, and they create a mess.
That's what I see a lot. Mm-hmm.
You see that a lot.
Yep, yep. Exactly. And my job is to try to have them work through their problems and then really try to keep it together because that's, you know, it's a healthy thing to try to work it out.
Exactly.
Unless it's too abusive or seriously damaging, then that's another story. But
well, but you know, I'm not suggesting that abusive relationships or damaging relationships. I'm not suggesting that people stay together.
Right.
But if you think you're going to leave this abusive relationship and the next one's going to be just all, you know, sugar and roses,
mm-hmm.
you're really mistaken because the recidivism rate for abusive relationships is about 85%. That's a very high recidivism rate, meaning you just go from one to the other
yep.
and invariably blame the other person instead of saying, wait a minute, who am I such that I keep ending up in these same kinds of relationships? Because the one common denominator in all of your relationships is you.
Yep. You are stuck with you, and you have to work through it. So
exactly.
You talked about four passages of love that you lay out in your book, Be Loved for Who You Really Are. So can you maybe talk about those four passages and how folks work through them?
Well, I'm going to take the more mystical side of it, and Judith will take the more practical side of it.
Good.
The book was inspired by a quote. The structure of the book was inspired by a quote that I read.
Mm-hmm.
And the quote goes as follows. Two become one. One becomes two. Two become three. And three becomes one.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to let Judith tell you what that all means.
No, please. Don't put me on the spot. Tell me.
Well, in the first passage of love, the honeymoon period, as it's known popularly, two become one. They feel like they are one. In fact, people say, you're just like me. My goodness, you finish my sentences. I couldn't live without you.
Right. And they're all on such good behavior.
Absolutely. Exactly. And so there's this oneness. Then, mm-hmm. as they make a deeper commitment to their relationship, they move, whether they want to or not, into becoming two, because their differences start to show up, the conflicts start to show up, mm-hmm. and we call that the promise of conflict.
Uh-huh.
So that the conflicts actually define the fact that there are two distinct people in the relationship, and if they will learn how to work with those conflicts in a healthy way, they will both grow because of those conflicts, and of course that's a whole part of our book of showing them how to use conflicts in a healthy way. And then two become three. The magic of differences opens the two of them to realities beyond just their individual selves, into a more magical, more mystical in some cases, in many ways, learning more about themselves, growing beyond just being the two individual people, but into the larger realm of their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally into the fourth passage, the grace of deep intimacy, which is they find themselves back into a deeper oneness than they could ever have imagined in the beginning.
It really makes a lot of sense.
And it's actually true for any kind of relationship that you form.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get a little silly here to make my point.
Mm.
But if you go to walking down the street and you pass a pet store,
mm-hmm.
and there's a puppy in the window, and you absolutely fall in love, and you go inside and you get the puppy, and it's licking your face, and it's excited to see you, and you get it in the car, and everything is wonderful. Well, that's the honeymoon glimpse of what is possible stage.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get it home and it pees on your rug.
Now
we are into the promise of conflict stage.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And that is that the puppy has a particular nature of its own, and you have one of your own, and you guys have to learn to work together.
Yes.
Then when you do that, you get into the magic of differences stage, where the puppy can actually be a teacher for you and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, you're laying in front of the fireplace on a cold night, and the puppy's asleep with his head on your chest.
Mm.
That's called the grace of deep intimacy, when the relationship comes together and you both know how to live with each other for who you are as distinct beings, and it's at that point that you get beyond your own self-delusion, your own narcissism, your own ideas of how things should and must be, and you actually come into contact with the world and create a relationship that way.
That is really a cool analogy. I love that.
Right.
And there's two questions I had now. And not to reveal too much of the book, because I really want people out there to investigate it and read your book, because it's really the real experience you have to do. You can't just get it from the talk show here, folks. So, but maybe you could give us an example of how you suggest people use conflict in a healthy way in order to better their relationship.
Happy to, Michelle. Mm-hmm. And I just do want to add to everyone listening that we do encourage you to get this book and read it. If you're in a relationship, read it together.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of every chapter, there are three practical, experiential suggestions and again, if you're single also, it will give you an idea of what you're looking for in your special someone that you're looking for while you're dating. So the book isn't just theory. It's very practical, and and very fun.
That's wonderful.
Now,
mm-hmm.
now the example that you're asking for mm-hmm. is here's a rule mm-hmm. that when you get into a conflict, what people generally do is they end up battering each other about okay. as a consequence of the topic or the content of the conflict. For example, you did not take out the garbage last night, and you said you would. Yeah, but I was busy, and I was doing other things. Why don't you take out the garbage? You're not blind. You could see that I was busy, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then you get into a conflict that is actually unresolvable.
Right.
And the reason it's not resolvable is because you're not actually dealing with the conflict. The conflict is not about who took out the garbage or who did not.
Right.
It's about the hurt that is a consequence. You said you were going to take out the garbage. I believed you, and you have disappointed me. Well, I am hurt because what you're doing is you're not paying attention to the fact that I was busy. Those are the issues mm-hmm. that are the real issues. The garbage is irrelevant. And if you get stuck, mm-hmm. and a lot of people say, well, here's a solution. Just put up a schedule on the wall near the garbage collector, near the garbage under the sink, and one day you do it, and the next day you do it, and one day you do it. That's all fine mechanistically,
mm-hmm.
but as soon as somebody doesn't, you're back into the hurt problem again that
yep.
has never been resolved, and that's really what the conflicts are about.
Right. It's so true, and this is what I see. This is what I call, and it's funny you mentioned the garbage, because within my therapeutic work, I call it getting rid of the garbage in your relationship.
Uh-huh.
And let's get
uh-huh.
down to the I statements. I'm feeling hurt because you didn't listen to me when I said that. I'm feeling sad because I really was expecting you to do this and you didn't hear me. Well, I'm feeling
right.
sad because I am so overwhelmed with my day at work and I'm so fatigued that I actually will do it tomorrow morning. So it's getting to discussing feelings and understanding each other before we get to this level of arguing about garbage. Which
precisely.
Is ridiculous.
Yeah, you're actually arguing about a schedule
yes.
which is really irrelevant to
really
the
is.
Fact that you have betrayed me because I trusted you.
Yes.
That's
exactly.
the real issue.
Yes. So back to using conflict in a healthy way, what you're talking about is going back to those understanding of each other statements.
Well, yes, you can do that. That's part of it. I mean, mm-hmm. you have to understand each other. But you can, you know, two very, very smart people can create very, very good statements.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them are then like defense attorneys defending their position. But we never really get to understand what their position is.
Yes.
What I'm saying is you have to talk about the hurt that you're feeling, not the garbage or who washed the dishes or why didn't you go to the bank or you didn't pick up the mail or whatever it is. You've got to talk about the underlying feelings. And unfortunately, both males and females are not well trained to do that.
That's really true. I think women do a lot more than females or men. But I do think that sometimes we don't do it correctly and focus on the issue at hand. We go back in the past and back in the now and then relate all these other feelings to it as well.
Well, Michelle, there's that, but I also want to share a story with you
mm-hmm.
for everybody listening, because there is this idea that women are more comfortable with feelings and they express their feelings
mm-hmm.
better and so forth, but I'm not so sure about that.
Okay.
And here's an example of why. Years ago, we worked with a couple, and clearly he was dragged in. I mean, she sat upright on the couch, and she was very verbal, and he sat over in the corner of the couch and kind of, was kind of sulky.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept complaining about him, about how he wasn't emotional, and he didn't express himself. And I particularly kept saying, you know, this really is an opportunity for you, to the husband, to put in your position on this. You know, we'd really like to hear from you and what you have to say about this, because clearly your wife has a lot of hurt feelings and upset about what's going on between the two of you, and we'd really encourage you to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned around to her and he said, "You really want to know what I'm feeling?
Uh-oh.
Do you really?" And she said, "Yes."
Uh-huh.
And he said, "I'm furious.
Mm-hmm.
I am so enraged. You spend half the day on the phone with your mother. You spend the rest of the time with our children. You don't pay any attention to me. All you want is my paycheck. I am royally furious.
Oh, yeah.
She turned to us and said, "See, he doesn't know how to express his feelings."
Ooh, gee, and I think he just did.
Said, and I said, "What kind of feelings were you expecting?" And she said, "Well, I want him to tell me he loves me and that he's wildly in love with me and that he wants to make love and that he wants to have a romantic evening with me."
Mm-hmm. So the problem here is that many males and females do it in a different way. Mm-hmm. The example Judith just used is the way females do it. And that is, we are caught up with a fantasy of romance, mm-hmm. a fantasy of love, and a fantasy of relationship. And when that fantasy is unfulfilled, we blame the other person. And with all, in all fairness to everyone, mm-hmm. the fact is that we don't... If you don't know any better, you can only do what you know. But we have this fantasy that's put out into the public by the novelists, particularly romantic novelists and
yes.
movies and things, that it's just somehow supposed to happen.
Right.
And there's also a biological basis for this, because it isn't like people walk down the street and have this menu in mind thinking, "Well, today, out of all of the possibilities, I will choose to fall in love with someone I see."
Mm-hmm.
When you see someone, and there's a what's known as a chemistry, which is also a very dangerous word, but that's perhaps for another conversation. When you feel a sense of something going on, it feels like it happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you've chosen from a menu of options.
Mm-hmm.
So then a lot of people believe that if that's, and it's not a conscious belief, they believe that if it happens to me, then the relationship happens to me, mm-hmm. and I don't have to put out the effort.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, you look across the landscape and decide, "Oh, I think I'm going to be an actor." And then you go, and let's say the connection is a good one, and you go out and you're an actor.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to find out about agents and publicity and lawyers and all of that stuff in order to actually do the job of being an actor.
Mm-hmm.
The relationships are the same. Relationships, in very many ways, are just like starting a small business. Money in, money out, money saved, money allocated, and then we have to deal with conflicts and the objections.
Right.
It's like you have to do that, otherwise it will die.
Right.
It will literally die, and then we wonder, you know, aren't there any good women in this world? Aren't they good men in this world?
Right. I agree. Now, you talked about the way people feel about relationships. In other words, you said females or women have this fantasy of romance. How do you describe men's point of view?
Let me just refer you to a movie any number of movies, but two of them that come to mind. One is, there was a movie called Air Force One with Harrison Ford.
Right.
And there was another movie called The Hunt for Red October.
Right.
Okay. And these are male romance fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're not romance in the sense that they're cuddling in bed with someone. That's the female romance fantasy. The male romance fantasy is in the face of all of this conflict and all of this danger, he will arise as the hero, saving the day and getting, you know, doing in the bad guy and mm-hmm. saving the woman who's been tied to the railroad tracks.
Right.
That's a male romance fantasy.
Uh-huh.
So one of the problems is you get a female romance fantasy, which is about cuddling and cooing and having, you know, hot latte in bed at night, and he's off saving the planet. And if people don't know that, then they really can't understand each other. And what they then have to do, if they do know it, is they have to really settle in and talk with each other and build the romance that they will experience as a unique couple. So this is not something that you just trundle down the street and it will happen to you. But when you know what you're doing, it is the best experience you can have.
And that's uh-huh. why, Michelle, I just want to support
mm-hmm.
what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
which is that people really do need to read Be Loved for Who You Really Are
mm-hmm.
so that they can have their feet on the ground, have some solid background and understanding of what is required to nourish their love and how their relationship can nourish them
mm-hmm.
and how they can be far more creative and romantic in the real sense in their relationship, so they don't have to be disappointed. They don't have to end up saying, "Is this all there is?"
That's really a great idea. Let me just briefly give the people out there your website. It's www.judithandjim.com. If you'd like more information on what they teach, their philosophies, how they can help you, their books, It's judithandjim.com, folks, so just check that out. We were talking a little earlier also about narcissism. One of the most common complaints I have on both sides, men and women, is I really am trying to build up my self-esteem and self-worth, and I really want to know who I am. But what's the difference between my narcissism and being okay with who I am?
Well, narcissism in the way that's dangerous, and I want to be clear here. There mm-hmm. is healthy narcissism, which right. we all need, which is our ability to take care of ourselves and remember that we are a distinct human, separate and different from everybody else, and that we have the right to pursue our own ambitions and define who we are in our own way. But the unhealthy narcissism, which goes back to early childhood, mm-hmm. so I want to be really clear that when I'm talking about people who suffer from unhealthy narcissism,
right.
it's not their fault.
Yes.
They were raised in a way that distorted their perception of themselves and the world, and they can grow out of it, but in relationship, unhealthy narcissism shows up as my way or the highway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only one that counts. You're here to do my bidding, and mm-hmm. it may be indirect, it may be very direct.
Mm-hmm.
We worked with a couple years ago, obviously this didn't last very long, but her position, even though she had a professional career just like her husband, was her money was hers.
Oh.
She was going to use her money for shoes and clothing and whatever she wanted.
Right.
And his money was theirs.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yes.
Well,
yours is mine and mine is mine.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
So she was being unhealthily narcissistic, mm-hmm. as if this marriage was all about her.
Mm-hmm.
And she really was not married psychologically or spiritually or emotionally mm-hmm. to her husband. She just wanted him to supply even more goodies for her to enjoy. Now,
right.
she was not willing to change, and she was not willing to hear about it, and they ended up divorced.
Oh, that's too bad.
Narcissism, the image of narcissism that comes from Greek mythology
right.
is Narcissus was
right.
a very beautiful boy
mm-hmm.
who caught a glimpse of himself reflected in the calm waters of a pool and was completely taken by it and spent all of his time looking at himself.
You look marvelous.
That's where the image comes
right.
from originally.
Right.
So what does that mean? It means yes. that in practical terms, I am really not able to understand that Judith is someone who's different from me. One of the phrases we use is that the other person is not you.
Yes.
Now, that may sound really simplistic, but it really isn't. The other person is not you. In other words, they're out there in their own right.
Right.
And if I am not aware of that, and vice versa, I'm out here in my own right,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not aware of that, then anytime I say to myself or anyone else, well, she loves me, how could I possibly know that when, in fact, I don't recognize that she's out there as someone different? And if I'm playing some kind of cover game or wearing a mask or whatever,
right.
how can I know that it applies to me? Because I don't ever let her know who I am.
Right.
So narcissism is a real danger. And what it does, interestingly enough, is it keeps you locked up inside of yourself, and it makes you lonely. And but that is, to understand that in practical terms, mm-hmm. generally, is that's a rather sophisticated understanding. And so as a result, you feel alone and lonely.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, you are alone and lonely because you cannot. It's not that you won't let anybody in; it's that you can't get out of yourself.
Right. And on the most serious side, it's the Axis 2 Cluster B folks who really destroy most of their relationships because it's all about the world and how they've hurt them. They can't
right.
take a look within themselves and how they're affecting others because of their own.
And also,
yes.
we did a lot of work in the 90s in
yeah.
domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And we were reviled for this because we would say that, well, given that the recidivism rate is... it's 85%.
Right.
There's a reality here, and that reality is that if you get into a DV relationship, domestic violence relationship, you have made a choice to be there, and that choice is usually unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot say it's just the other person's fault because you have been attracted to the situation. And some proof of that is, as I said, the recidivism rate is 85%. You
wow.
leave one, you go into another
right.
one. So you bring your attraction to that kind of situation along.
Yep.
So in order to actually break the cycle, you have to find out what you're doing.
Right.
And we were reviled for that. We were called blaming the victim. But that's true in any relationship.
Right.
If your relationships are, if you keep getting into relationships, say, that is emotionally not very alive, it's rather dry, the question is, why do you want dry emotional relationships?
Yes.
Why do you keep doing that?
Exactly.
You know, it's your responsibility to take a look at yourself. And when you do, you can finally discover what it is that you can do to leave what you've already done and get something that you've never had before.
That's a wonderful way of putting it. And maybe along those lines, too, why do people have such a hard time being loved, actually receiving the love that they claim that they want? Why do they have such a hard time, do you think, receiving that
well,
love?
Michelle, there are two major pieces to this.
Mm-hmm.
One is that when it comes to our culture, our society, of men and women who are having babies, we're still rather elementary and primitive.
Yes, yes.
And so most people are not growing up in families where they are actually loved for who they really are.
Right.
What's called love in most families is mom and dad say, you be like we are, we're the Smiths, you be a Smith, you act
mm-hmm.
just like we do,
mm-hmm.
and we'll approve of you.
Right.
We'll reward you with what we call love,
right.
but it is actually not love because it's not love for who you are, it's love for what you're conforming to who we are.
Right, right.
And so most people feel deeply insecure at the core of their being about, am I really lovable if I'm who I am? If I show my particular sense of humor, if I go off onto a career that my parents don't approve of, on and on and on and on. And so we pretty much everybody lives with a core of insecurity about who I am.
I agree.
So
I agree.
You understand that. And then secondly,
mm-hmm.
we have to cope with growing up in these families that are less than wonderfully loving.
Right.
Because as little kids, we're stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it the frozen green bean phenomenon.
Yes. I like that. I like that.
What happens is you have to, as a little kid, when you get your feelings hurt because you were expressing yourself and you got yelled at for being too loud or you were being creative and you got slammed for making a purple cow,
right.
you have to hide, even to yourself, the depth of hurt that happened, and
right.
you tuck it away and you freeze it.
Right.
Just like when you put green beans in the freezer, they stop feeling, they stop growing.
Right.
Then when real love comes along later in your adult life, the genuine real thing, real love is warm and it's embracing and it gets into those frozen places
mm-hmm.
and starts to thaw out the ways you were hurt when you were young, and it hurts. And now, because people don't have any preparation for that experience, most people say, I've got to get out of here. This hurts. This can't be love.
Mm-hmm.
I need to leave. And they go and find a relationship that is not loving.
Right.
But it doesn't hurt.
Right.
And if only they would hang in, all that thawing out would eventually work its way out, and they would be able to be really surrendered into a genuine love. And again, that's why we wrote our book calling Be Loved for Who You Really Are.
Right.
Because it is what people want, but they don't know what it is entailed. What's it about? What's it like? And we want people to have their feet on the ground. So many people have written us about this book saying, you
mm-hmm.
saved my marriage.
Mm.
You saved me from breaking up with somebody because you got me to see clearly what the issues are.
Right.
And I read a book in the 1950s called The Art of Loving by a psychoanalyst
right.
who was very well known in the 50s, and his name was Eric Fromm.
Right.
And in the introduction of the book, he wrote something. Now, I'm paraphrasing.
Uh-huh.
If somebody goes to look for exactly word for word, you probably won't find it. Mm-hmm. But what he said in my paraphrase was, we humans assume that we know how to love simply because we're humans.
Mm-hmm.
And love is like everything else. You have to learn to be able to do it well. It's not automatic.
Right. It's not.
It's not.
And so by reading your book and maybe going on to your website and getting some more information about finding out who you really are and some of your frozen parts or some of the feelings that you have that you've locked away, the low self-esteem, that you're not worthy of love, that's the way to break through to really be open to that wonderful love in your life and not focusing on the people who won't hurt you, who are safe. But damaging to you in the long run, and will continue to have problems with you.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle, when people go to our website, Judith and Jim, and spell out the and, mm-hmm. judithandjim.com, there is a survey there
right. That
is a free survey, and we encourage people to take it because it asks some very helpful questions to help people begin to think about their availability to be loved, to receive respect and care and attention and ask for what they really need in their life. And we've also gotten a lot of good feedback on that survey. So we encourage everybody to go to judithandjim.com and take the survey.
Neat. It really is a good survey, too, because like I said, I did a little earlier. And it really does open a lot of information up in helping people understand
mm-hmm.
more about who they are and why they're relating to certain people in different ways, maybe what they can change or think about changing. Let's get personal with you guys a little bit. You're a neat couple. I mean, I've spent
Thank
some time
talking.
You are. I've spent some, and people, if you go onto their website too, you can see they're really a good looking couple, and they're just,
Thank you.
The energy is just a good thing. It's going on. So it's kind of personal, but you guys are so open about what you mean by letting love lead and, you know, what people can expect when they allow love to be their teacher. How has love been a teacher for each of you in your relationship?
Oh, goodness. Well, first of all, I want everybody to know we are going to celebrate our 21st wedding anniversary in April.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you. We've been together for quite a while, mm-hmm. and certainly love has led us into a great deal of personal healing for both of us,
mm-hmm.
because neither one of us came from loving families.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had to learn a lot about being loved. But also, Michelle, and I want everybody to understand, love has also led us into changing the work that we do. It's still relationship work, but we found ourselves being led by love to get more involved in how people do marketing and get involved in commercial exchange,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of marketing is kind of abusive and insulting to the buyer.
Yep.
You can see it in television commercials.
Yes,
you can
it
see
is.
It on radio, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And certainly on the internet.
Yes.
And so we have become the leading voice for what is called soft sell marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now recognized internationally for our soft sell marketing work. And truly, love has led the way
yes.
to us doing the work we do now.
Yes.
And that's not... that's really a profound statement, and the reason we're saying that, we have a book coming out in April, and the subtitle of the book is Love Your Customers, and They Will Love You Back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's not a term that's often used in business circles.
No, it's really, it's kind of threw me a little bit. I went, what, love your customers? Well, yeah, I mean, be polite to them, be nice to them, and give to them and all that, but no, you guys have a different take on it.
Right,
right,
right. We're not saying be socially cordial. We're saying love your customers.
Right.
And they will love you back, and they will love you back in more ways than just giving you money for whatever it is you're offering
mm-hmm,
them.
Mm-hmm.
But the point that I was leading to is that when we got into this marketing business,
mm-hmm.
we thought we had to abandon all of the years we had working on relationships and all of the information and the wisdom we gained there, because it didn't apply. We were caught in the cliche of, you know, it's just business and
right, right.
and it's not personal and all.
Right.
Well, the fact of the matter is that if you just look at what's happened recently on Wall Street and with subprime mortgage all of that, there is a huge disadvantage and a deep danger when the one of the most profound human institutions, and that is buying and selling every day, is handled in a way that is purely conceptual.
Right.
So you get things like the what they did on Wall Street. I can't give you the specifics because I don't know them. I just know the language. But they created these algorithms around the subprime mortgages and that created derivatives and and then finally nobody knew what was going on, and mostly the human element was gone.
Right. Right,
so
exactly.
What people are really starving for, particularly in the commercial area, is to know that they're safe and they won't be abused by the transaction.
Yep.
And we work with caregivers like yourself and service providers who have a heart-to-heart connection with their clients, but they aren't trained in terms of marketing and selling, and so they don't quite know how to do that.
Right.
And what we do is bring experts to bear to help them do that so that they can actually make a living doing what the world needs desperately, which is bringing their heart-based, soul-based products and services to the world, because the world is really, really, really looking for that kind of shift.
Right, and I think a lot of people are emotionally shutting off right now because it is so, you know, scary, and not necessarily to focus on the economy because we're about relationships here on my show. But, I mean, that's really what it's about, is communicating openly and having warmer, more open relationships and relating what's going on out there, the scary things in this country, to being able to explore some of our fears and our feelings
even
about
when
it.
You, Michelle, even when you say the scary things, just that phrase, yes, I respect that your show's about relationships, and I respect that. But the fact of the matter is, if you just open, not you, but one in general, opens their imagination, everything is about relationships.
It is.
If it weren't about relationships, you couldn't say the scary things because it would have no emotional connection.
Right.
It's all about the emotional connection we all live with.
It
and
is.
I was reading in the newspaper today, people trying to figure out what it is that caused what appears to be so obvious, and everybody was so blind to it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the conclusions they're coming to is that human beings really, really need relationships and need to feel like they're members of a community. And when everybody in the community is doing X, Y, and Z, then you do X, Y, and Z. Even if the end result, it brings the company down, you still do it because it's more important to be in the relationship than it is to do just what appears to be abstract, which is move the numbers up and down the bottom line.
Exactly. Making changes yourself. It's really true. Relationships is really down. That's what it's all
everywhere.
About. Everywhere. Exactly.
And if you want to extend it one step further out, we can get into a discussion of quantum physics, which is now saying that it is clear at the quantum level that everything that exists is defined specifically in relation to what it is in relation to. So at the quantum level, every element exists in relation to something else and cannot be defined otherwise. So it is all, it's so about relationship that relationship is at the absolute foundation of what exists in real terms in this universe.
It's really true. We are all attached. We are all single.
All.
We are all connected. And I'm totally a believer in the quantum physics. Totally. That's one of the premises that I teach also in my therapy. You know, on a lighter note, I don't get into quantum physics, but per se, we are all connected. It's so true.
All of us.
It's so true. So,
you know, just to give you one little, just one little from quantum physics, a little example, and that is, it is now being discovered that two atoms, now we're way down at the bottom of things here when we talk about atoms, but two atoms, if they come into connection with us, with each other, and they make a relationship, and I'm not talking in strict physics terms, but if they make a relationship, and then they separate, and you do something to one, the other one has, generally speaking, the other one has a response, even if the other one is way the hell on the other side of the country or wherever they do these things, however that's all measured. Once they become connected, they are never not connected.
That is really true, and it's a fascinating subject to read about.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to encourage our listeners here to check out your book. We're going to have to be going pretty soon. It's Be Loved for Who You Really Are. And authors Judith and Jim, my guests today on the show. They motivate audiences. And by the way, you can also go onto their website and get help for, you know, looking into yourself and why you're not having the best relationships, whether they be personal, romantic, a business. And it's judithandjim.com. You spell out the and. Correct, guys?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yes,
correct.
Perfect. Exactly.
And so you can get more information. And I love what the title of your website says. Stop trying to move forward with one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake. And they'll tell you more about yourself. You take a self-assessment test. And, you know, these guys are the real deal. They're licensed psychologists. They know what they're doing. They've been practicing for years. They've written really helpful books. And, folks, it would behoove you to check out their website and also check out their books as well. And the one we're talking about today, of course, specifically is Be Loved for Who You Really Are. Judith.
Michelle, may I give out an 800 number?
Please do. Go right ahead.
It's 877-810-7653.
Great. All right, guys. Thank you so much for being on the show today. It's just been a pleasure. And I know there's so much more information and so many more questions I would like to ask you, but unfortunately, we're out of time. So, folks, if you have...
It has been a pleasure being with you. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much, guys. Have a wonderful day. And, of course, if you weren't... with us the whole time on the interview, people, you can, of course, download the show if you'd like on latalkradio.com right here at any time. And check out what Judith and Jim have to say once again. And anyway, have a good day, guys, and I'll talk
to you later.
Thanks again so much for listening. All right, this is Dr. Michelle. It's been a pleasure being on the couch with you. You can stay on the couch if you'd like, because T.J. McCormick is up next, and I'm sure he'd like you to be comfortable with what he has to say. Although, he makes me uncomfortable sometimes. But that's a good thing, because it helps me look at myself. All right, I'll be back. Anytime you want, download this show, latalkradio.com. Dr. Michelle, have a wonderful day. Be here live next Friday at 11 Pacific Standard Time. And do take care. Bye-bye.
Tonight, seeing flashes.